Today on Abounding Grace, Pastor Chris Gordon gives us a look at the sin of Achan and how it relates to the Eighth Commandment.
The object of lust had overtaken and stolen the heart. And when the heart is stolen in love for mammon, and then stealing of something from the world, is really a display of what? Why is the Lord so angry about this sin? What's he teaching us? It's holding on to the past. You say, what do you mean? It demonstrates no faith in what God has promised you.
And if you think about it, each and every commandment in the Ten tell us that if we break them, we're thinking the same thing. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon takes us back to Joshua 7 as we look at the Eighth Commandment, you shall not steal. Here's Pastor Chris now with today's program.
Somebody stole of the devoted things. It's an interesting thing, the accursed things, to which we all should stand back and say, well, what is that? Why is that so bad? And the simple answer to that is that during the conquest of the land of Canaan, the Lord would designate a place or a people to be put under the ban and be devoted to Yahweh. It's what we call harem warfare, meaning to devote to destruction. So wherever or whoever the Lord directed them to go to at his instructions, they were to put them under the ban and devote them to destruction. And here Jericho and the surrounding cities received that ban. When God cleansed the land, wanted the land cleansed by Israel, nothing impure was to be left in there. Have you struggled with why? Have you understood why God gave such intense instructions about this? It foreshadowed the future. Think about it. In the new heavens and the new earth, you have a description of the land cleansed in the new heavens and new earth, and nothing anymore enters in that will ever defile. We'll get at the end in a minute here to Revelation 22. Israel was to cleanse it. Israel had broken the terms of the covenant. And what's important here is that one man's sin comes to the fore. One man's sin. God makes it known to Joshua that Israel had taken of the accursed things. And that to be purified and to stand before their enemies, they would need to remove the offender and the accursed things, lest this curse fall upon all of them. So the tribes were brought out before Joshua, and we saw the whole process by which he began to single it out by law. And sure enough, it happens in verse 20 that we get to the issue here. I'm not spending a lot of time on this, but Achan answered Joshua. Now listen to this. Truly, I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar or Babylon and 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels. Then I coveted and I took. And see, they're hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath. Now I believe this really helps us tonight with the Eighth Commandment. I want you to consider it for a moment with me. I saw a Babylonian garment. I saw it. And then I began to covet it, and I went and stole it. Now, when we think about Babylon for a moment, and we think of how the scriptures present Babylon, Shinar, it's always been representative in the kings and kingdoms of the world belonging to Babylon and what it has to offer. It always represented this, the world, the things in the world. Babylon was teaching us things about the world. And you'll notice here in this particular section of Joshua chapter 7, how the heart and Achan's heart really comes out, that he says, I studied this and I began to desire this. And the sin started with coveting, again, the eighth and the tenth, so connected. And after he had coveted these things, he stole, he took what he should not have taken, directly forbidden by the Lord. And what we find is that Joshua has Achan, the things that he has stolen, his sons and his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, everything brought to the valley of Achor, meaning trouble, and everything is stoned and then burned with fire. Well, that may be hard to comprehend for a moment, to understand the severity of the judgment for this. But I think we need to understand it. I think we need to appreciate it. What was God teaching Israel? And what's God teaching us? Listen to Joshua's question. Alas, O Lord, why did you ever bring this people over the Jordan only to deliver us in the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan. Some translations say, if we had just stayed there. Why'd you ever bring us out? Why'd you ever bring us out? This is going to happen. To which you said, well, what is the Lord teaching? The act of bringing us out was intended to bring out a lot more that Israel could not bring out. What do I mean? They could not bring Egypt and the world out of their hearts. I want you to ponder this for a minute. God had delivered them, but the deliverance needed to be so much more than deliverance from the physical bondage, didn't it? You know the deliverance that the way the New Testament applies this. You know what they needed. You know what the law was intended to teach us about our need. You know why the law was given. We're feeling the weight of this right now. Oh, that the world had come out of them. But it didn't. Now, the eighth commandment then was exposing something. The eighth commandment, as Paul said, I would have never known what it was to covet unless the law had said, thou shalt not covet. I would have never known what the real problem was with stealing unless the law shall said, I'm now applying this, to what the law has had the law not said, I shall not, you shall not steal. What is it really exposing then? What do I understand about theft in light of that? I want to go back to something I quoted last week that I think really helps to understand, because John Owen applied the sin of Achan in this way. And let me quote this one more time, a portion of this. Here's what happens in light of the eighth commandment. The lust of the eyes enters the soul, forcing the imagination to portray its intentions. John speaks of this as the lust of the eyes because it constantly represents these images to the mind and to the soul, just as our natural eyes present images of outward objects to the brain. Now think about this. Indeed, the actual sight of the eyes often occasions these imaginations. Achan declared how sin had prevailed over him in Joshua. First he saw the gold and the Babylonian garments. Then he coveted them. Seeing them, he imagined their value to him. Then he fixed them in his desiring heart. The enticement of sin is heightened when the imagination dominates over the mind. It implants vain thoughts within the mind. When I want something, when you want something, what do? Consumes you. You can't stop thinking about it. You know how this goes. Something, a visual has been put in your mind. You've seen something. Your eyes have gazed upon it. Now your mind imagines having it. It looks so beautiful to the mind, you can't get it out of your mind. You know this about your spending. Car, coat, Babylonian garment, the thing, and you're working every single angle to get the thing. You won't rest. Nothing's going to stop and get in your way until you've obtained it. There's a reason it's called consumerism. And who ultimately is squelched out of the heart? Well, if you were listening to Jesus, you would hear him say, well, those are two different loyalties here. That's what theft is. It's the outward action and exposure of that process going on the inside. Well, you say, I wouldn't steal it. What would Achan do if he were living in 2016 in the United States? He'd charge it, right? Nothing wrong, I suppose, with charging if you can pay for it. The problem of loving the world was there. The object of lust had overtaken and stolen the heart. And when the heart is stolen in love for mammon, and then stealing of something from the world, is really a display of what? Why is the Lord so angry about this sin? What's he teaching us? It's holding on to the past. It's holding on to the past. You say, what do you mean? It demonstrates no faith in what God has promised you. What has God promised you? Everything. Everything. What is before you? In these circumstances, the root of theft, so that Achan polluting Israel was demonstrating the hold that God is exposing on their past. It's a reason they mulled around for 40 years. So that if Joshua said to the Lord, "Why didn't you just leave us there?" The Lord could have said, "By this theft, you're showing you still want to be there." Do you see it? That's why I'm angry. And the eighth commandment has now done its work. The eighth commandment has done its work. You see how important this is for us? Isn't there a reason that the New Testament says, as believers, set your minds on things above and not on the earth where, think about it, where Christ is above, not on the earth where moths and rust destroy things, Jesus said. So then the heart of the eighth commandment for Achan and for us comes down to what the New Testament teaches us about a certain sort of way we think and a certain sort of pursuit in our life as pilgrims. It is this: don't love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's not from the Father, but it's of the world. And you see, here's the problem with that. That world that you're still holding on to, it's all passing away. Now think of Israel positioned right here. You want to go back to that? You're holding on to it. You're holding on too tight. And that helps us, I believe, with the eighth commandment. John said, if you love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Anyone who is caught stealing or robbing another man's property or cheating and holding on to their things is essentially loving the world and is being mastered by the things of the world and has not believed in the heavenly promises that awaits him. So that you have to say tonight that stealing is a strong expression of being in bondage still to the world. Think about it. God has freed us from that. And now, as they're entering the promised land, what does he say I'm going to do? I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you, it's a land of milk and honey for you. And you see, that's the issue before us tonight. He's not left you in want on your pilgrim way. Not only has he supplied every need for you and cared for you. I mean, think of how the Psalms depict and describe all the blessings that we enjoy in the present from God's hand. Think about this. You make the springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate that he may bring forth food from the earth. And wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness and it's night when all the beasts of the forest creep about. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. The Psalms just saying, God's loaded you with all kinds of benefits and he's loaded the earth with blessings and benefits to enjoy. How much more, he's saying, is waiting you in glory. Theft says, not enough. Not enough. I want more. I want more now. Right now. Right now. Give it to me now. I don't really want what you have to offer. And it also says, I'll go get it myself. And boy, we have another whole problem with that because now we're understanding that entering the land is a gift of free grace. Now that's the law. I trust you feel it. I hope I was clear with it. I hope it had some kind of effect tonight. Stealing hearts, cheating, swindling. Think about all these things tonight when it comes to theft. Isn't it interesting? When Jesus was dying, that when he was nailed to that cross, of all the offenses that could have been singled out, the moment Jesus is dying, you have two thieves put next to him. Thieves. We call him the thief on the cross. The single great sin as Jesus was dying that was exposed was by this great thief who his whole life had been in theft, taken in theft, given in theft, given over to the love of the world and things. And his hands are pinned up so that he can no longer steal. He can't make right what's been wrong. And he looks at Jesus and he says, "Would you remember me when you enter into your kingdom in glory?" And Jesus says to him, don't miss it. This night, you will enter into what? My land. Paradise. He's talking about in anticipation of the fulfillment of it in glory. You're coming where I'm going. You're coming where I will be. So at that moment, he entered through him, in him. You see, if the law has done its work, the first confession that comes out of my mouth is that I'm an Achan. I am an Achan. We are thieves and robbers. And that punishment for your theft that happened to Achan happened to Jesus. So that when you think about the severity of the judgment that fell on Achan out in the valley of Achor, you should say that judgment fell in AD 30 on him for me. Because that's what I deserve. Both cases. And far worse, when the wrath of God is poured out in body and in soul. You see, there's only one way to have a place in Christ's heavenly land. It is to be found in him. Any other way, any other approach, any other sin, you're part of the ban. You're part of the accursed things. You're going to be taken outside the camp to the Valley Achor like Jesus was. But at the risk of tonight, running the risk of not giving you enough gospel, can I give you one more theft to think about then? The greatest theft in Scripture? If I asked you, what's the greatest theft in Scripture? How would you answer? How about this? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, that same is a thief and a robber. The greatest theft is to try to do this and enter in the kingdom yourself apart from Jesus. That's the greatest thief that ever existed. To enter him and fleeing to Christ is the way we enter into the land. So that on that day in Revelation 21, the gates, they shall not be shut by day or by night, and they shall bring in there the glory and honor of the nations into it, but there shall by no means enter. Now you understand what all that cleansing of the land meant. There shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, and we add a theft, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Any sin will not be there. It'll all be cleansed. Blessed are those, Revelation, who do his commandments that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices the lie. To enter the gate, to enter the heavenly inheritance, there can be no accursed thing found in us. And that's why we need the Savior. He who knew no Achan became the Achan, so that we might become the inheritors of the land in him. That's the reality. And when that overtakes you, and when you get that, your path's going to be a little different, isn't it? Boys and girls, who would you go to say, what does the new life look like? That wee little man called Zacchaeus, who was a thief, And when, more than the law ever required, Jesus came and dined with him and saved him and said, today, salvation has come to this house. This is the son of Abraham. He goes into the land. What did Zacchaeus say? I give it all back in fourfold. Enough of this. Enough. And then we become stewards of his good gifts and grace, stewards of what he's given to us, content with what he's supplied, so that we can now take our goods and, you know, supply them, as the scriptures say, for our neighbor's good, so that that we should share with those who are in need. Let him who steals steal no longer, working with your hands, that you might have something to share with those in need. Sometimes, I confess, we're holding way too tight to our things, and we're not sharing with those in need, as is proper for those who've been redeemed and entered the Lamb by grace. I guess this is an important truth to close with tonight. Remember, I heard it years ago. I know it's been used everywhere, but I just thought I'd use it. Remember the Monopoly game? You all remember the Monopoly game. You've played it all your life. Hate that game, by the way. Especially when my kids want to play it. Takes forever. With that Monopoly game, I can beat my kids and I can get a lot of money. And I love doing that, and I can get Park Street and I can get the cars and I can get it all. But it all goes back in the box, and that's the most discouraging part at the end, isn't it? That's what we should remember. It's all borrowed capital. You have everything awaiting you. So let him who stole steal no longer, and use your hands to bless your neighbor. And in that, you'll honor the intention of the eighth commandment.
You shall not steal, something that is really quite at the heart of God and his desire for our lives, isn't it? Chris will be back in just a moment to close out our time today with a word of prayer, but I'd like to leave you with our contact information. If you'd like to get a hold of us for any reason at all, maybe you're looking to be a part of this ministry financially, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe it's prayerfully. Again, please let us know. If you've got a question or comment, I'll tell you how you can reach out to us and send that question our way, and we'll do our best to get Chris behind a mic to answer it just for you. Here's our contact information. First, our phone number, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. You can visit us online at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. And consider that somewhat like a diving board into other platforms that we are on. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Again, all of those platforms are available through our website, agradio.org. If you'd like to lick a stamp, send us a letter. The address is Abounding Grace Radio, Post Office Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Now, as mentioned, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, it's as simple as opening up your smartphone, accessing the Voice Memo app, and recording that question along with your name and where you're calling from, and then emailing it from the Voice Memo app to us, questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. If we use your question on the air, we'll let you know when. As promised, now let's return to Pastor Chris once again as we close out today's broadcast with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, forgive us for being thieves. Forgive us for being selfish. Forgive us for wanting more and more, coveting more and more, and then taking. And help us, Lord, in the practice of our lives to be less worried about us and more about others. We confess tonight we're great sinners. And that struggle that we discussed in the canons is so real in our lives that this would be a total discouragement tonight if you had not encouraged us to tell us that through the righteousness that comes by faith in Christ, we're forgiven, and that we enter solely because he is the law keeper and has kept the commandments of God for us. And so encouraging us tonight, thank you for the grace you've shown to us, and help us, weak as we are and as many ways as we stumble and fall, to think less of ourselves and more of our neighbor's good, and to not be divided between two opinions, but to begin to taste in this life already what we will enjoy in full in the new heavens and the new earth, the love of the Lord our God without a divided heart, of all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Tomorrow, you shall not bear false witness here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.